sure shot. Sure to make the body drop, drop it, no copy, yo. What part is a co-op? Terror rays stretching, quenching the thirst of the power dawn. That fire-sided fifth of
all. All right, so what's going on?
Good morning, good morning.
Good win yesterday.
What's up, Monday? That's good a great win. That's a great win yesterday.
Good team, beat a good team. A lot of things in the game, though, to look at and say, it was pretty good.
Could even been better. Could have even been better.
What do you feel best about?
Defense.
Yeah, defense. More specifically. If you can pick out one thing.
Okay. I think their tackling and their ability to apply pressure. But I think it goes hand in hand. They're doing things differently than they did last year. I'm sorry. Brian Flores has, I think, a little more, what do you want to call it? Texas Hold'em, little Vegas flair to him, where he'll roll the dice a little bit. You know, play a little gambling, do a little gambling, take one guy, put his hand down, move guys around to snap. Matt Patricia never did that. Matt Patricia, you line up. We're going to go 3-4, we're going to go 4-3, we're going to go 2-4-2 wide nickel, and we're going to line up, then we're going to play.
So you're talking about some of the disguises yesterday.
I just think their ability to move around, it's nice to confuse their quarterback every once in a while. Instead of, we're going to line up, oh, man, we're in cover two again. When you got Daron Harmon and Devin McCourty up at the snap, you know, stepping up the A-gap, and boom, bailing out 30 yards deep and running back and picking balls off. Kirk Cousins, it's a $29 million quarterback. He had a tough time reading things. Couldn't find the open guy. Couldn't find the open guy all day. Cousins looked bad in that game.
You know, the Patriots used to do these things years ago under Romeo Crennel, right?
Sexy.
Right? Yeah. And go back to the picks against Peyton Manning in the AFC Championship game. Or go to any of their, you know, big wins a decade plus. Wow. Now that I'm thinking about it, 2003 was 15 years ago.
Now, we're not going to sit here and discredit this as we move on here. Say Minnesota struggles. Is that not going to be considered a quality win? Because that's a damn quality win.
Oh, it's quality.
Okay, good. I've heard this after the Packer win, or we looked at it. Okay, there's your first complete game. Really good game.
This is a better win than the Packer win because of the defense.
It's better than the Packer win.
Better win. You said tackling. If I could narrow that down to a specific position, the tackling in the secondary was
corners.
Excellent.
Corners.
Jason McCourty yesterday on Adam Thielen. Now, yes, did he have help? He did. He had all kinds of help, much of it from his twin brother. But I thought, you know, we'll just call it Brothers McCourty had an excellent day in coverage against Adam Thielen, limiting what he could do. There was one long pass that did sort of brush off his fingertips, a better throw. They would have been beaten on it, but
thought it was a stupid decision on third and short again. We've seen the Patriots do that, where you take the shot down the field on a double move.
Play was there, though.
It was there. He didn't hit it.
No, he didn't.
Didn't hit it.
But it was there.
Get off the field. Kick it again.
It was and there. And I'm with you, though. I hate those big shots down the field.
But, I mean,
when they're that's a low percentage play there.
Yeah.
You got to have a lot of things go right. They got most of it to go right. They did better than most teams would do.
There's so much fresh in my mind from that Kansas City game where they had that track meet on that Thursday night football game where they're going downfield. KC goes downfield. They go come back counter. They go downfield. They didn't push the ball downfield at all. And I got to go back and I got to watch this. I mean, is this the credit how good the coverage was? That she took people out of it?
Oh, I think it was. I think Diggs was a little bit limited by the
A little bit limited, but he still went in the middle and still there.
Gilmore had a good day, and Gilmore was very physical with him at the line of scrimmage, which I thought was very key in this.
And when they checked.
On the whole, out of the gate, first play of the game, Landon Roberts with a big hit on an incompletion.
Thank you.
They set a tone early of playing a physical style of defense. And a lot of people are also going to call us today and talk about the play of J.C. Jackson, right?
He was good. For a rook, whew.
You're going to look at that. And you know what I've noticed about him? He is a guy that can be
A finesse guy.
He is handsy, is what he is.
He's Tabucky Jones.
He is a handsy, physical corner, and he sort of toes that line of being just on the edge of almost getting penalties.
Yeah.
And Jim Murray, to his credit, mentioned last night, he goes, yeah, it's like the Legion of Boom. Like, they can't flag you forward on every play. And the more you do it, the more it becomes the norm.
That's a good point. Brandon Browner made a career out of that.
Yeah, it's sort of that Brandon Browner style of playing, and he had a really good game. And I think the physicality that the Patriots brought yesterday was, in addition, everything they were doing schematically was just great to watch.
See, and I think
that feels like their best defensive game of the year.
And a guy like Jackson, you know, against a matchup like a Pittsburgh team that's a little more finesse, a little more quicker receivers, you know what I'm saying, like with Juju and Brown – probably not play as much. You know what I mean? I think that's a game plan specific type game for him where, okay, here's what we're going to do with this package, and we could give him help over the top. But I thought Gilmore was good. And then when they went to zone, to what you're talking about, that hit by Roberts early in the game, that's the old school Patriot stuff where if they're going to run a crosser, boom, we're hitting you. They hit Rudolph. They rode him down inside. They passed him off to the next guy. There was great communication across the front. And I'm talking about that first underneath coverage point where you have backers and you have those corners there. Safeties were good in this game. You know, I know they got crossed up on the Thielen touchdown, but that was just a great route, great throw. They're gonna make plays like that down the red zone every once in a while. But for the most part, I thought they were there competitive on every play. Every play. Made them pay. And if they were gonna catch it, they were gonna get hit. And they were gonna get hit hard. Good stuff.
Patriots defense gets better in the month of December.
Huge
trend in the right direction, is it not?
It is.
You're into December and the defense shows up and plays their best game of the year.
You got health on offense. Your special teams are getting cleaned up. Special teams have gotten better the last 2 weeks. Got to give them credit for that. Good kicking. Yeah. What?
You know how I feel about talking about special teams.
The same way you didn't want to talk about Philip Rivers 4 weeks ago. Yeah, they went, who's the guy to say?
I know.
I've been on the Chargers for 4 weeks, man. Right.
I can't stand those Chargers.
They're
there. I'm stunned by the development of the second half.
You loved them last
night.
You loved them last night.
I didn't love them. Yeah. I didn't like that win.
Philip Rivers got some balls.
I hate both of those teams.
Big cojones.
I hate both of those teams. The pressure the Patriots applied last night against the Vikings. They had 2 sacks on the night. It's not about sacks. And they were going up against a crap offensive line, but they did a good job. Their pressure mattered, and Kirk Cousins is terrible at dealing with it. It's unbelievable how bad he is at dealing with the pressure. It's got to be because he's just dealt with it so much this year.
Well, I think, you know, and so much of that offense, too, it's not like a pressure-react offense. Their offense is a called offense. You talk about the Kansas City offense, the Philadelphia Eagle offense, and if it's going to have flares of that, you know, you've got to come off the fake. You got to have the motion. Ball's got to be out on that fifth step, or you're screwed. Once you take away that first read, and he's got to start looking, and then the pressure comes. He was looking to bail. He was looking to get out of that pocket. He got out of the pocket twice yesterday, but there was no pressure. So that's when you know you're in a guy's head right away. They hit him early in the game.
And there's just no – on so many plays, it just felt like there was so little of an attempt to try and evade it.
Yeah.
I mean, he would square up and then just say, all right, well, I'm going to get sat on the couple of sacks he had. It was like – Turn to the line of scrimmage.
Yesterday,
square
proves,
up and just hope that you don't get killed.
That's what McGinnis told me before the game too. Willie's like, you see, they didn't cover the field, right? You know, it's been raining all morning. You know what that means? They got a quick cutting team, and we want to slow their ass down. So again, I mean, he's fiddling around. Cousins with 2 different types of gloves and warm ups and his little fanny pack, and right there, it's already in your head. Weather. We're outside the dome. It's outside our element. You know, things are a little different today, and. I want to be fair here. Kirk Cousins is a damn good quarterback. I know that. I'm not stupid. But yesterday was not his day. He was one of the worst ones we've seen all year. I put him in there with Trubisky. Trubisky made some plays with his legs, but I don't know. It's just not good. Not good yesterday for him. That was a bad day for Kirk Cousins. Because I've seen him play better. You know, we've seen him in big games. We've seen him drive the ball. He didn't drive the ball yesterday. I'm shocked they didn't attempt more throws to the outside. I'm shocked we didn't throw more throws to the outside. You know, they had 2 corners down on that on the defensive side for them, Minnesota. You know, Rhodes goes down. You know, he tried to give it a go. You know, Wayne on the other side. Both those guys are out. And then we finally got it going in the second half. Took almost a whole half to adjust to figure out what you wanted to do. But they were moving the ball well early in the game.
Let's talk about the offense. More about it in their day. Defense shined in a Patriots win yesterday over the Vikings, 24-10, the final score. But it definitely was not a perfect day for the Patriots offense. They still have issues.
Yeah.
They're still struggling in some regards and doing well in others. We'll talk about it. Josh Gordon sort of stepped up in the second half after being MIA in the first half.
They've got some good problems on offense. Now you got another guy in there with Burkhead, so it gives you another body, another skill guy, but sometimes it complicates things because you start thinking, okay, how do we got to fit this guy in? We need to do things differently than what we've been doing.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Second and 3. Gronk in motion to the right with a quick flip out to the left of court. Makes the catch. Runs to the 5. Spinning inside the 3 and diving for first and goal to go across the 2.
Flash. Da-da. Da-da. That's the way you do it right there. Little slant to the left side. It's a quickie out to him. I'm covered. Flash. Da-da. I just think of the long hair flowing in a chariot with flashes riding across the sky.
How much you like his touchdown? I loved his touchdown.
His touchdown was great.
Do you know why? Why I loved it so much?
Because of the read.
Yes.
The read. He knew what to do.
That shows an understanding of the offense.
Oh, my God. It's cover two zone. Backers are tight. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to slide behind him. I'm going to settle in the middle. I'm going to catch it, turn, and score.
I mean, that's classic what Brady will do if required. Hey, we'll just find the soft spots in the zone. But the receiver's got to know where they are, too.
It was a great throw by
Brady. And he sat on it. And I'm like, wow, this guy gets it.
And he's so legged, you can actually see him decelerate. You could see him thinking it out as he's going, as he's running the route. It was great.
Yep.
And then Minnesota just decided, we're going to run away from him, not tackle him.
Now, that to
me,
I don't
want to tackle him. You tackle him.
Yeah, right. It didn't matter that it was a touchdown. It was just the play itself.
The development.
Even if it didn't result in a touchdown, it was a great play.
It's huge.
That to me is so much more valuable than, let's say, his touchdown against the Colts. Right?
Yeah.
On a broken play where you just heave it up to him.
That's a freak play.
Yeah, this shows that he's getting it.
He's evolving. Yeah.
He's understanding the offense.
To where you've talked about it from weeks ago, where you start to really have to count on him, which is what they're doing on the outside. How about the quick hitch that he catches outside, converts it up the sideline, making some plays when your offense is struggling. They made the adjustment to go to the perimeter. Hogan made a couple plays, and then you hit Gronkowski and him up the middle. That's how you end up winning this game, is the adjustments you make on offense, good pressure on defense, and it was good complimentary football back and forth.
The Patriots rushed for 160 yards. Does it feel like they rushed for 160 yards?
Because they didn't commit to it.
No,
because you know why? The smoke and mirror element of all the faking and
yes, because eight motion. Different guys carried the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But I'm talking more about the commitment.
Oh, they could have
ran.
I thought they could have ran it down their throat. I really did. I thought they were controlling the line of scrimmage, and for whatever reason, they got too complacent or fearful of the pressure of the big down four. Now, Minnesota's big up front, or just they had the concept that didn't think they could run between tackles. Sure they could. You put Devlin in the game, they run right down their throat. Every time you put Devlin in the game, what happens? The physicality of the offense and the offensive line changes. Tight end blocks more, tackles block more. Trent Brown pulling, going left and right. I thought the screen game was really good yesterday. Could have even been better. Thought you left some yards out there in the screens if you blocked it up a little better. But screen element's back. Burkhead could run it. James White could run it. They all could run it.
You know why it felt more like the running game was effective? Is because I almost count those little pitch passes to James White coming in motion as runs. Because basically, instead of he could literally hand it off if he wanted to.
Right.
But instead, he treats it like hot potato. I'm going to get passing yards.
True.
Passing yards. I love that.
That's an extra like 40 yards right there, probably.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, including that padded stat right before the half with James White. How many yards did he get on that play?
Might have gotten me to the fantasy football playoffs.
Oh!
That's
extra 5 points at the end of a half.
Right.
That's a play right there. I ripped the other teams for. Just, you know what? I just complete it. Pick it. It's a Ryan Tannehill 60-yard stat. That's what that is.
Well,
you effed up the whole series before.
I would have liked to have seen the Patriots commit more to the run than they did. I get it.
Think they thought, you know, we could get in everybody's hands and let's blow doors here.
They didn't do it on their terms.
They had them, man. They could have blown that. Hey, I thought they could have really rolled them. They could have rolled the Vikings. Think about that. You could have. There were a lot of people here, even in town, picking against them. I don't blame you. Vikings, good team. You watched that team last year without a quarterback go on, pretty much almost make it to the Super Bowl.
Great debate in postgame last night. Brady's run for five to pick up the 1,000 yards in his career. Design play or not?
Not a design play.
That's what I said.
He recognized the coverage and where the pressure was coming from, and he's like, okay, we're in man. I get that back foot hit, boom, he went.
He saw that guy coming off the right where everybody saw it. Right?
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay.
I got to handle him. Just as long as Trent takes this guy to the left and pushes him back, I'm going left
right.
side.
So not a design play, but he decided almost instantaneously he was just going to take that himself.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. That back foot hit, boom, he was gone. Not a call play. He talked about it in the postgame. So, yeah, I don't do that a lot, but I just took it upon myself and saw something there. And, you know, it's nice to do things like that because it gives other teams moving forward something to look at. Yeah, where you game plan against me, you're not going to do a scramble drill. You know, you're not. Guy's not running anywhere, but if you can pick up a third down here or there like that, that helps.
617-779-0985. Let's get to some of your calls. Todd is in the car today. What's up, Todd?
Hey, had two quick comments.
Yeah.
One was I finally heard Hightower's name repeatedly yesterday, which was nice. And the other one was you notice Brady at the end, how he
end how he...
Yep, he didn't step back to take his knee. He made sure not to lose yardage.
He
to
always
not go
does
backwards.
That. He said he always does that. He's trying to gain yardage all the time.
He always drops the knee. He hates getting the negative three yards.
Yeah, he always goes forward.
Yeah. Something's wrong with Brady after the end of the game. He's pissed about something.
Is it worthy of celebrating somebody who needs 18 years to pick up 1,000 rushing yards? Is this something we should really be talking about a lot?
I don't think so.
I don't think we are talking about it a lot.
Last night, everybody was talking about it. It's like kind of a mocking.
No. Buckley came up and talked to me. He goes, how many career rushing yards do you have? I have no clue. He goes, you serious? I'm like, dude, we're pocket passers. If you think you want to run the ball, you don't care about rushing.
All right, let's ask a different question. How many yards did you throw for?
I don't know.
Huh.
But I mean,
I
knew I threw for 269 first one out of the gate.
Somebody said last night that Dan Marino had 87 career rushing yards.
That might be true.
Probably true.
So, okay, maybe it's not all that
running the ball, but like everybody was giddy about it. Like the number is official for Tom.
Josh Allen had like 135 yesterday.
Like, Reese came in, asked Belichick about it. He got stripped down. I was like, yeah, we care a lot about that one.
Yeah.
Mike. Thanks, Mike.
Tom says 38 carries, 81 yards for Zoe. You got to turn your head away from that microphone, Zoe.
Why turn your headphones down, please. Just turn them down.
You can't hear out of one ear, then you won't hear it.
It's not an unreasonable request.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, see?
Problem solved. Is that better?
Yeah. I have a headache now.
Christian's in Nashua and Brady in his 1,000 yards. Hi, Christian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Real quick here, you know what? For this 1,000-yard thing, you know, like for how he had his birthday party, he had his past year, and they had the big 12-foot card that they had the number one and two. Right. You could sign it.
That was
a
nice
fan.
Moment. Yeah.
It's a nice,
sorry,
nice
Christian.
Gesture.
Hold on. Zoe's
nice
got
gesture
a point.
For the quarterback. Maybe get one of those like banners. You know, like the two guys found. Hey, man, I got lots of friends. You know, the Red Sox banner they sure. found. One of those type banners, like the 1,000-yarder for him, they could hang on the light post.
Yeah.
And maybe everybody could go down and sign it, put it outside Gillette Stadium. Down there next to their hockey, next to the rink. They got the ice rink, got that nice winter skate thing going. Maybe hang it down at Bass Pro. Bass Pro has huge crowds coming in right now at the holiday season. And everybody could sign it for Brady, the 1,000-yard thing.
And then they won't give it to him like they didn't give him the birthday card. Christian's in Nashua. Hi, Christian.
Hi.
Zoe, yes. Thanks for interrupting me here.
But, I'm sorry.
This is the most overplayed take on the radio. I'm so sick of hearing it. It's so predictable. I get an email today from the Patriots monetizing the situation, selling T-shirts.
Selling T-shirts.
No.
Yes, they are. Pro
Take
Shop.
Them down.
The Pro Shop is selling
no,
Brady 1,000-yard T-shirts.
It's just stupid.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the most predictable thing I could have ever imagined. It's like Beatles sucking on his own show.
I don't know about the...
What did he say at the end? I couldn't hear him. Jim is
sucking on a lollipop.
Like you suck on your own show.
You suck on a lollipop.
But are they doing it as a real monetizing of it, or is it like a goof? Is it like a real celebratory thing?
No, they're selling T-shirts at the Pro Shop, and Brady's selling his own TB12 1K
like
shirts.
Another thing, it went
1K.
Another thing, it went a little weird. Remember the birthday cake last year too, the 5,000-piece birthday cake, and 2 years ago the goat farm. Like you get on his birthday, you could actually go play with goats at training camp. Like there's training camp. Now we have a petting zoo over here filled with goats.
Everybody,
because you get it.
Everybody likes goats.
It's greatest of all time. Like I wanted to take tin cans, or if it's a real billy goat, that thing will eat anything. Take a big trash bag down, just eat the trash. Maybe that's how they get rid of the trash at Gillette now. Maybe those goats just feed all day out back. You don't even know. They can just be right over that hill. We keep talking 1,000-yard rushers. We could do this all day.
Scott, New Hampshire. Hi, Scott.
So much to the development of the offense.
Hey guys,
hi.
What's going on?
How are you?
Hey, Brother Zolak, it's me again. Early in the preseason of football, I mentioned Baker Mayfield for the draft, and I said he was kind of arrogant because we were talking about the Hard Knocks show you guys were watching.
Cocky.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
Okay, well, he seems to be on fire. He lost the other day, which is fine. It's called the learning curve. When are you going to apply for that job to be the head coach of the Browns?
Back again.
No,
never.
I'm serious. I'm not making this stuff up.
I know.
Usually I poke fun when I call.
I like
I'm
your
being
call.
Being serious.
You know what? You want to be my agent?
I'm dead serious. Listen. Hang on a second. Hear me out for a minute. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I only get a little bit of time, and you guys, the phone automatically shuts off. Listen, you have the football knowledge. You played with the Patriots. You are under Parcells. You are like the ideal candidate. Everyone's talking about Josh McDaniels. Well, you know what he wants to do? Let him spread his wings and fly. You're the guy for the Browns. I'm
Who
telling you.
Who do you think I should have offense coordinator?
Charisma? What's that?
Who should be my offense coordinator? Hardy I would hire for entertainment and quality control.
Hold on. Why is the phone going to shut off?
Well, they told me I only get 5 minutes when I call if I ramble or if I swear or something. I got a big sign in the
I thought
so you're saying, we're going to shut you off. Sorry. Okay. All right. I call. How do you know me? I'm a golf guy.
Yes.
Yeah, remember when you Tiger was on the leaderboard with Francesca Manolioni, and I just hammered his name again?
Yeah. Molinari, yeah.
Molinari.
Yeah, that guy. And I told you I wanted him to put on the display and just totally degrade me on national TV. You remember that call? You were on Toucher and Rich filling in the news.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, good job filling in the news there.
So hang on. You guys are getting me off track now. Zolak, you're the ideal guy. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. You are the ideal guy to coach that team. Young talent, a quarterback, attitude. And you got the personality and the knowledge.
I changed uniforms, too. I got right back to throwbacks. I wore the old classic Cleveland throwbacks, get the big pads out. They were like Pepper Johnson, and then we're there, then big shoulder pads. Ozzie Newsom.
Would your complete lack of coaching experience hinder you in any way from getting that job?
I'd probably go for it every fourth down. I'd go for two all the time.
Pre-game speech. Boys, we're wearing these today. So hold up the jersey, put it down, and walk out.
Throw the balls out.
We're going all white. Mayfield, we're going 2 minute. We're going to start the game with 2 minute, and you're going to call everything. Okay. All right. Good prep week. We're ready.
I'm now obsessed with how many career rushing yards quarterbacks have. I have the list.
Is Marino really 87?
I don't know where. I haven't looked that particular number up, but I've got the top 100.
Do you want to know when this stat matters?
Rushing stats on quarterbacks, the top 100 on the all-time list.
If you're Fran Tarkenton or if you're Roger Staubach.
Tarkenton is sixth all
time. That's part of your offense, or you're part of a read option guy like Cam Newton. That's when it matters. That's when quarterback rushing yards matter.
You're Cam Newton's third all-time already.
Should be.
He's behind Randall Cunningham.
That's a force.
And Michael Vick is number one all time.
That's so
with how many yards?
6,109.
That's my man Ninkovich. Ninkovich chased him around at 130
yards. Brady is currently ranked 98th. Do you know who? It's funny to me to see who has more yards than him. Matt Cassel has more rushing yards than Tom Brady. And think of how many fewer games he's played in. Tim Tebow has 989 yards rushing in his very short career.
Wow.
Yeah. Josh McCown, who's basically been a backup for all these years, he's got 1,108 yards. Yeah. Rick Meyer, how long did he last in the league?
Remember when the Red Sox came up with like that David Ortiz, greatest clutch player in history, and that, and they give him a plaque?
Andy Dalton's got more rushing yards than Tom Brady.
You could do a dedication at like the last Tannehill. Home game.
I'm just looking at the current guys. Mariota.
What do you think? Call Brady out?
Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger's got more. Luck has more.
Luck.
Robert Griffin has more. Blake Bortles has 1,735 yards rushing.
Bortles can run.
Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm just looking at current guys ahead of him.
Maybe we're just missing it here. Maybe we could do 4 hours on 1,000 yards.
Maybe we could. Maybe we could.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You requested this interview. You requested this opportunity to talk one-on-one with us. Why?
Honestly, I just want to let the world know, you know, how sorry I am for my actions. And, you know, it's been a tough time for me. And I'm extremely embarrassed because of that video.
And then there's this situation in Kansas City. Kareem Hunt has been cut by the Kansas City Chiefs. What his future is, no one seems to know. He is probably facing a suspension from the NFL. This after a video surfaced by way of TMZ. Here's TMZ again playing a big role in one of these situations in the NFL. TMZ obtaining the video of him assaulting a woman back in February shows him pushing, shoving, striking, kicking the woman. And as soon as that video surfaced, the Chiefs cut him. Now, that part to me seems like simple, and we understand that. Okay, video surfaces, they have the evidence. Now it's, you know, how does the league deal with this? How did the league investigate this? And there is this report from The Athletic. The Chiefs, according to multiple league sources, knew the video evidence of the altercation existed, but were told by the NFL to stop pursuing it late February once the league began its investigation. You don't think that's a good thing, Hardy?
No.
As part of the fallout from the Rice situation.
At least they admit to knowing about it this time.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Ray Rice video, but go ahead.
As part of the fallout from the Rice incident, the NFL formally took over the responsibility of handling all investigations into potential violations of the personal conduct policy. Part of the reason the league took over these types of investigations was to keep teams which have a vested interest in keeping players on the field from potential conflicts of interest. Wow, that's funny. This, again, written on The Athletic by Nate Taylor. He reports that small detail from over the weekend, which is a significant one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The league knew there was a video. Chiefs knew there was a video. The Chiefs were trying to get the video, and the NFL
said,
"Fat-faced
liars.
Stop looking for it.
We have it. We know what it is. You don't want to see it. But all you need is proof is this." And guess what the reaction I got all weekend was? Well, it's comparison of Deflategate, Brady, you know, the Ted Wells, blah, blah. I understand your reaction here because you're pissed your quarterback got suspended for a minor rules violation infraction, even if it did take place, which should have been a fine. You can't compare when a man hits a woman to an on-field, you know, rule violation. They're not comparable. But what is where you can attack the league is how they were vehemently going after Brady day after the accusal. You know, January 18th, caught you with the ball. Guess when the investigation started? January 19th. League will get what they want
to
get.
This to me is an interesting
point. Is the point here. You know what I'm saying?
That's probably the best take I've heard from anybody on this, comparing the two, which is if there's one thing to criticize is the aggressiveness of the league on something like that versus the aggressiveness on something like this.
You know what I go through.
Not suspensions, but how they approach them.
You know, from a security standpoint, and you're around the team, you know who the security people are, but you understand what I go through from a security standpoint when we travel with the team. Like, you can't touch your bag for six hours once you check your bag into a certain area. We have people on our plane that are tied into high-level things. You know what I mean? We get the best security in the league. It's a multi-billion-dollar operation.
High-level. Bang-up job.
If they want to find something, they find it, okay? They find it. I played back in the 90s. They knew where we were, what we did, where we were out. Who'd you go out with last night? Oh, I'll name all four players. I got my spies everywhere. Never get one side plus. You really want to go out on a Wednesday? You
know
what
we're doing? They didn't seem to know what Aaron Hernandez was up to.
Yeah, they had no idea that Aaron Hernandez murdered multiple people.
I don't know if they knew he murdered or pulled the trigger, but I guarantee you that they probably knew that something ain't right here. Okay? But you know, I mean, you see what I'm saying. You never get to the point where you think
I don't.
You're pulling triggers, okay?
So you're saying that I believe the Chiefs knew what had happened.
I played with bad people. It's well documented, some of the bad people I played with. You're dealing with 53 different people of all different walks of life. There's going to be issues. It's how you handle the issues. It's how you cover up the issues. It's how you internalize it. It's how you make examples of it. It's how whatever type of culture you think you want to instill. Patriots have a great culture here. And the Hernandez stuff still happened.
So really, the question is, did the Chiefs have an understanding of what had happened?
They knew.
What happened in February?
You got your all-pro running back that did it, though. There's your problem.
And did they choose to ignore it, or did they really not know what happened? They talked to Kareem Hunt, and they believed his version of events. Or did they just say, okay, we're going to take his version of events and force ourselves to believe what he's done?
Sadly, I think the entire league does what Doug Williams does at times. And I don't think every person in the league does it, but stuff happens all the time, man, at high, high, high levels. Not in our game, but just in society and our country.
Yeah, sadly, for the Cleveland Police Department that night, this was barely a call. You know, this was one of 20 that they probably had like that. And in the overall scheme of things that they have to deal with, it probably wasn't that big of a deal, which is why I believe them when they say they didn't request
the
hotel security footage because... Well, what? There isn't a felony here.
We got an issue going here.
We're not going to continue with it. What I think is more interesting is why the Chiefs cut him. Why did the Chiefs cut him after the video came out?
Because he embarrassed them.
And he lied to
us.
Okay.
We're the Hunts.
All right.
I'm kind of an old school family, old school type of guy. You tell me man to man, face to face, that you didn't do this. Okay, I'm going to believe you. Same way like Aaron Hernandez. Tell Mr. Kraft, did you do this? No, I am not involved in it. You know what I mean?
So now what happens to Kareem Hunt?
You become Ray Rice. But the problem is...
I think he'll get another job.
I think he'll get another job.
Of course he will. Mike Vick worked again. Michael Vick worked again.
Why is he going to get another job?
Why
will another team pick him up?
Because he's good.
He's good. Talented. And he's having young. Him on the team, he's it young. Has been proven, is not going to affect the ratings or the ticket sales or the concessions or the T-shirts or the jerseys or anything else.
Right.
And to me, that's where the issue is. He'll get another job because having him on the team, there's a lot of people who won't like it, and there are a lot of people who will stand up and say something about it.
And it's,
but is it going to affect the bottom line of whatever team he ends up going to?
No.
That's why he'll work again.
And God forbid, if you do something, pray to God they don't have the video evidence of it.
And
video evidence.
And then you can also talk about whether or not he should be able to and have a second chance and all that stuff. That's a different conversation. But the fact that he's going to is because it's not going to adversely affect whatever team he joins. No, he's going to help whatever team he joins.
So I would say,
would you pick him up here next year?
The NFL.
Me personally, no, I would not.
Okay.
The NFL needs to get to a point where they figure out a very stiff penalty for these types of incidents and make it so that once that penalty is handed down, it's less, you know, it's less shocking when the player does get a job again.
You hope
so. Now, if they just said, listen, the evidence is clear, we're giving you a 1-year suspension, you can come back to the league.
Well, and it's got to be
because all
ironclad.
Those things already said are true.
Here's the problem.
Is the league going to lose any revenue because Kareem Hunt's not in the league?
No.
Are they going to lose any ratings or fans because he's not in the league? No.
And here's the thing,
They won't lose any of those things because he's not playing.
Here's the thing, too. You saw the video of the police department in Cleveland where they went there and they videoed just to make sure that nobody didn't have any bruises on them or cuts. And Kareem Hunt had his shirt off and he's standing there talking to the girl. The girl's sitting down talking to the police. They got that on video. And I've heard a lot of this over the weekend, too, from lawyers and from law enforcement types that this is not domestic violence. There was no relationship. This is a simple potential battery case.
No, this is a straight up assault.
Assault.
Assaulting a stranger.
And, hey, we were there on the scene, and if you're told
both
this
are horrible.
This
I don't know
that,
what's considered worse.
Why didn't you grab the video right away there? Why don't you grab the video right away and take a peek at it? Okay, we're in a public open place here. I mean, we do it on a street. If somebody does something.
I'll tell you what.
On a hit and run.
I'll tell you what.
We got video cameras
here's what's happening already. This report from The Athletic tells you that they're all just playing cover your ass.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
The team's looking for the tape.
Are you shocked?
And then they stop looking for the tape because the league says they stop looking for the tape, right? And then the league says, well, we can't get the tape because of, you know, we don't have legal authority to obtain the tape. Somehow TMZ gets the tape, though.
Oh, like they got the Ray Rice tape.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't have legal authority, do they?
Yeah. Quit telling me about the great security and the awesome job that everybody does in the NFL. Yeah. If you want to make it better, hire TMZ. That'll automatically make things.
The problem is TMZ wants to put it out.
Right,
league
the NFL doesn't want it out there.
You don't want it out.
Don't you know by now it's going to come out? You get in front of it, you get to it, and you put it out yourself so you can control it.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Well, I think it does matter, though. We need to hear from you how you got to that point. What happened?
It was definitely some things that were said and did that I did not like, and that's not an excuse. It's not. I'm that person in that video did not deserve that. I didn't mean to hurt anybody or anything like that. It's really tough. It's tough because, like, I feel like I let a lot of people down, and I just really want to, you know, apologize to everybody, the Chiefs organization, my family, and close friends.
That's Kareem Hunt yesterday with Lisa Salters on ESPN. They did an interview. Kareem Hunt has reportedly hired a crisis management team.
Boy, they got out in front of it, huh?
Did you see this interview?
I did not in the morning. I think I was. Where the hell was I going?
Have you heard parts of it at least?
Yeah, I've heard it. I've heard it. I've heard it replayed a ton.
It's terrible.
I haven't seen it.
It's so lame. It's so disingenuous. It's
so
not
structured.
Real. It's not honest. It's not authentic.
That's the sad part for
him. It's all lies.
The sad part for him, you know, your career could potentially be really, really hurt by this. Your ability to earn money, You're a fantastic talent on the field. This is going to stick with you. Whether he's so genuinely upset that apologize, he sounds like, hey, I am sorry, I screwed up. And everybody makes mistakes. This type of stuff is just tough to come back from when you got the video and based on the league and how they've handled these incidents over the years. It's just a bad, bad look. It's a bad look for everybody. Bad look for everybody.
It's just too little, too late.
Yeah. You could say that, and everybody apologizes when you screw up. That's what you do. You apologize. I just don't, you know, who's going to believe him?
Not because he wants to.
He has to. It's like Ray Rice.
The only reason he's doing an interview and apologizing is because someone was hired to tell him to do that and says, you need to apologize.
Remember the Ray Rice stuff when he first came out? He felt bad for this part. He never, like, said I'm sorry. Like, I didn't, you know, remember the wife, the whole everything? It was weird. And, like, the Ravens so vehemently defended him.
Right, we've learned.
You know, nothing. There was never any, like, direct of, like, I am so sorry for this. It's like Urban Meyer after they found out what he did with protecting one of his assistant coaches. Remember Urban? Oh, yeah. It's, you know, she was there and he referred to her as the she. And, you know, he protected his guy and just looked terrible. You know, he's not going to get away from that.
It was a bad idea. Bad idea to send him out there for an interview.
I don't understand why so quickly. I'd tuck tail there for a while, man. Go into hiding. Figure out. Do a thorough investigation. You know, get to him. Get to him and ask him honestly what was said, what happened. We need your story. Because, well, you know, I'm not really that kind of person. She didn't deserve it. And sorry for the Chiefs and, you know, fans.
It was like he was reading bullet points off a card.
Yeah.
Like the things he was supposed to say. He had to memorize what he needed to say in the interview.
It's not natural.
And that's what he did. Who cares for that? Who puts any real stock into that? 617-779-0985. Matt's in the car today. Hi, Matt.
Hey, boys. Hey, thanks for taking the call. So, listen, real quick on Brady's 1,000-yard rush. I read an article on ESPN or something. I think as of 08, when Neal's started being a classified stat, he's lost like 160 yards just due to kneel down. So over the course of his career, I mean, I know it took like forever to get there, but if you extrapolate that out.
Right.
In selling t-shirts, I mean, that's got to be tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's tongue-in-cheek, and I think they're all going to try and make a buck off it. I mean, it's what you do. It's the brand, right? You get the GOAT. You get the greatest of all time. You hit 1,000 yards. It's another milestone.
Right.
I think everybody today on every call should say, hey, happy 1,000-yard day.
Right.
Yeah, let's do that.
Happy 1,000.
This was starting to bug
me.
I don't think he wanted to deal with it yesterday. I don't think the head coach wanted to deal with it yesterday. And everybody thought it was a little cute, little storyline.
Right.
Get their stories ready.
Switching gears to Kareem Hunt again, I mean, I think this is just another example of deplorable actions with the NFL getting caught with egg on its face. You know, they preach that they're tough against these things, and then when you get down into the weeds of it, they do a half-crap job of trying to piece together the puzzle and find out exactly what happened. And then you get what you get, right? Guy goes on and plays for three quarters of a season, and then a video comes out, and his career's over. I mean, these are just what happened. It's like wash, rinse, repeat with the NFL.
Yeah, it is. It's all it is. It's going to keep happening. You think this will change the league? I don't. I don't think anything's going to change these guys. How they approach the issue, how they take care of the issue.
Remember, I just remember vividly the Greg Hardy story so much. You know, the futon and the guns and throwing her down, and just that dude went and collected $14 million right away from Dallas and stretched on his own. It's just, it's a crazy league. If you're good, they'll play you.
Do you give Kansas City any credit for just straight out cutting him right away without even?
Yeah.
See, I do, and listen, I know that the Chiefs probably didn't try hard enough to get the video. They probably wanted to believe whatever it was that Kareem Hunt was telling them. They have Tyreek Hill on their roster.
You're the number one seed, you're a contender, and you're cutting your running game.
So I'm not making them out to be saints. Guts. I'm not making them out to be saints or great people, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of teams, and so it's sort of a sliding scale in the NFL of morality. At least they did what a lot of teams wouldn't do. There are a lot of teams in this league that wouldn't even think to cut them when this happens. Right. They just say, you know what? We're sending you home, and the league's going to suspend you, and this is a league matter now.
Ravens
There's
held a press
lot
conference
of teams that would do
player.
That. Yeah, yes.
Ravens held a press conference. You know, the team built on rock-solid foundation, supporting our player.
And so I think that tells you that there's some sort of shift from when that happened in 2014.
Yeah.
That now they don't let themselves get to a press conference where they try and defend the player.
Yeah, nice try. You lied. Thanks. Good carry on. Nice year. Nice year. Yeah, you had a nice year for us last year. Good luck. That's tough. It's tough on the player, tough on
him. The Brady t-shirt is $29.99. That's a lot.
Artie, you do Christmas
shopping? Why do t-shirts get so expensive? T-shirts are expensive.
Well, he's
now
got that stretchy, breathable stuff, man.
You know, no, this is, I'm saying from the Patriots Pro Shop, not the TB12 one. This is the Patriots Pro Shop.
How much?
Officially licensed.
You don't want to hear it.
Tom Brady, 1,000 career rushing yards. T-shirt, $29.99.
Yeah.
It says, Pro Shop exclusive. He did it. Tom Brady has surpassed 1,000 yards rushing for his career. Celebrate with TB12 with this commemorative tee and cheering him on toward the next 1,000.
Tom brought up a good point. What's worse, that or first to 100 wins?
Oh, this feels worse to me.
I know we have to go, but did you see what Payless did?
Yeah.
Nope.
Payless
yes.
Shoes?
Yes.
Created a store called Palessi. Made it look like a big designer shoe place.
Took a $20
invited some
shoe.
Influencers to come in. $20, $40 shoes they sold for $200 to $600. People came in, loved the shoes, buying the shoes, buying the
dumbasses.
Shoes. And then they let him in on the prank afterwards.
No way.
Yeah.
Palessi.
When did that happen?
It's like Kmart.
Like last I just saw it this morning. Yeah.
Really?
I saw it last week.
It's like Target
yeah.
and Kmart.
So same what does thing. That have to do with this?
You're paying for the logo.
On which shirt? The
Patriots
the
Pro Shop Patriots. Stuff. I mean, all that stuff. Every NFL team, you're paying for the...
That's official merchandise.
In terms of why it's expensive, why a lousy t-shirt's $30.
Team official merchandise.
I guess, yeah. It's got a picture of Tom Brady running with a football.
You know what's going to result out of this? Front. We're going to end up getting some gear out of this from the Patriots Pro Shop. We're like, you guys are hammering this. Here, look, it's so nice. We're going to gift you guys this for the holiday season.
Think
Pro,
so?
ProShop.Patriots.com is where you go.
Be a real nice shirt if it's free. Be a real nice shirt. 2X.
I'm not in on this shirt. No.
I wear a shirt.
This is not a good shirt.
This is like Zoe asking for lunch without asking. A 2X. He just said 2X. He dropped in.
This is not the shirt you want. You
would just Pro Shop and the Pro Shop collection. Open Monday through Saturday.
7 to 5.
Well, they got that little one up in Patriot Place, the collection.
And on Sundays, yeah, of course.
You know what? I've actually found some more stuff in there than you did at the main one. A little collection.
The Pro Shop collection.
Sometimes if you're out of the, out of the color of stuff, sometimes the other one has it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.